because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to Podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Here in the Hockey Central studio, Darren Millard with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean settling in for Hockey Central at Noon, coming off a very busy night in the NHL and looking forward to Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey on Sportsnet tonight with the Vancouver Canucks and Edmonton Oilers, who have both been off, licking their wounds after losses to the Arizona Coyotes, and they'll go at it at 8 o'clock Eastern time tonight, 7:30 Hockey Central, so a little bit earlier in Edmonton. Montreal and Toronto, both losers last night on the Canadian side. Calgary and Winnipeg were winners. A massive comeback for the Calgary Flames. LA drills Florida with a big second period, and Dallas still can't get things straightened around. We will get to a few different things today. Glenn Healy on what's going to happen in Edmonton with the Oilers, again, for the second straight year, really struggling head-to-head within their own conference. He will join us live from Edmonton. But we try to balance things out in this show. Because we're based out of Toronto, we do talk Leafs, but we try to make sure that it's spread around a little bit. It's not just a Leaf show, it's a hockey show. However, given what happened in Buffalo on Saturday and then was followed up last night at Air Canada Center with the 9 goals allowed to the Nashville Predators, we must spend a significant time on the demise of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the spectacular failures in which this team has produced the last 3 years and continued last night.
And this team was 6-1-1 a week ago.
I realize that, right? And going.
Yeah.
But you cannot overlook
the
way that they have lost Saturday.
I know. I get it.
Against the worst team in the National Hockey League. And then last night, allowing 9 goals to the Nashville Predators.
So you got to do something. You've got to do something.
Let's start at the beginning.
Wow, when you say that, referring to what everybody else in the city is? Fire the coach?
No, I'm not referring to that.
Why have they been outplayed so bad? What? Put your finger on that reason.
I think things are rolling, and they're a confident group, and they lose their confidence, they lose their composure, but it comes back to personnel. It comes back to personnel.
But it's the same personnel that was 6-1-1.
I know, but I think over the long haul, is it the right group? No, they're going to try to change this group. They're going to try to change this group. There's no way this.
You know what, though?
You're going to win with the core that they have.
What does that mean? Change the group? That, you know, your core guys are Phaneuf, Kessel, Bozak,
mm-hmm.
and
JVR.
JVR.
Right.
So when you say that, then somebody's
got to go in that group.
And then you've got some younger pieces with potential, like Kadri and Jake Gardner and Morgan Riley. Is it going to take one of those guys to move?
It's going to take something to move to change something up there. There's somebody's got to come in here that's going to be the guy. I look, Phil Kessel's a heck of a player.
But where have they been? Where have they failed the last 3 games?
Average goaltending and poor team play, which we've been talking about for 3 years. You can't play loose in the NHL. You mentioned the Edmonton Oilers. Why do they struggle? Because they play loose. Why do the Leafs struggle? Because you can't turn the puck over 40 times in the first two periods and win hockey games on a consistent basis. You can't.
They don't know how to play hard every night.
Is that personnel?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They don't know how to be true professionals and bring it every night. And that's not suggesting that you have to have results every night, but there are nights that they just take the night off. Okay. And the last 2 games, like, we've seen this team play better levels against Boston, Pitt, you know, they competed. So they're better than this. We know that they're better than this. It's not Buffalo where you go, they're just no good.
Buffalo's disappointing.
This team can be good. But can they be great? No. But can they, should they compete?
Did you pick
every
them for
night?
The did you pick them for the playoffs?
I said they'd be in the mix of
for the eight,
10,
for the,
yes. 10 teams,
right.
12 teams in
exactly.
the East. They're going to be in the mix
which,
for a
which
wild
is what
card
they are.
Spot.
So, but let's not, do you think that Randy Carlyle, Dave Nonis, and Shanahan sat down in the summer and didn't think that they have to make some major changes to this group? They didn't because they couldn't. But I guarantee you it's talked about on a consistent basis. Like, how do we move somebody out of this group to make this team better?
On the heels of Buffalo.
Their issues are in the room, okay? And when I say that, I'm saying that on great teams, championship teams, it starts with an alpha dog.
Yeah.
Okay? An alpha dog. Who's the alpha dog in Pittsburgh? We know.
Yeah.
Who's the alpha dog in Chicago?
In Anaheim.
We know. We know who the big dogs are in L.A., well, and you go down.
It's
so you tell me who the alpha dog is in Toronto. No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's
Phil Kessel. That's your alpha dog. Phaneuf may think he is.
That's what I mean.
But he's not. Okay? He's not. The alpha dog is your star.
Mm-hmm.
It's your star. And there's only one star on that team right now. And it's Phil. Okay? He's one of the top goal scorers in the league. Right?
Yep.
But Phil kind of has that. Phil does what Phil wants, okay? Phil doesn't want to talk to anybody, go away, right? And that in itself is a big problem, okay? Because the alpha dog has to know that there's 10, 15 guys, some of them young, impressionable, in that room watching
so,
this alpha dog
so,
treat people this particular way in the media. And
Nick,
that's not a good thing.
And he's not going to change.
It's not a good thing.
And he's not going to change. So what? If he's not going to change, and he's a heck of a player, but he's not, Phil Kessel has never been that guy, whether he was playing midget
or
whether
now.
He was playing college, he was never the guy that was going to be the guy. He's going to be a great player, but not the guy that's going to lead you.
Whether or not he wants that title or not.
No, he doesn't.
He's got it.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
He's got it.
So what do you have to do? You got to bring somebody in that's going to be the guy.
And Phaneuf's
game will be real
isn't
good.
Strong enough to be that guy. It's not.
Who?
Phaneuf's game isn't strong enough
to be that guy. But his game is, I don't have a problem a lot of nights with his game. But he's not also, he doesn't have the backing in that room 100%. People appreciate that he plays a lot of minutes. People appreciate he gets points. But he doesn't have the backing in
so
the room.
So to summarize, Dion
they
wants...
They need a number one guy to come in.
Dion wants to be the guy, but
doesn't
have the game.
The management wants him to be that guy.
Phil has the game,
and
doesn't want to be the guy.
And that's an issue.
It comes back to, what did Eric Staal do? When he come, you know, what's Getzlaf do? What's Taves do? Those are the guys.
And that's why you give up 15 goals in two games?
Well, no, but I think it's a part of the bigger problem. And look, I don't have any doubt that they know they need to find the guy. They've got to find him somewhere.
If you had a strong core group, right? And it's like Pat Kane. I look at Pat Kane in Chicago, and on a lot of other teams, there'd be some issues with Pat Kane.
But not with Taves.
You know why there's no issues?
Exactly.
Not with Taves.
Not with Keith.
And not with Seabrook.
Yeah.
Okay? And now all of a sudden, Kane's great. Because if Kane falls off a little bit, there's two or three guys to say, hey,
but,
Kane or come here. We want to talk to you.
But you've got to get through now. You don't have that guy.
It doesn't happen here in Toronto.
Okay,
right?
So you know who has to be the guy right now? You know who has to step into that room today and have a meeting with this group? Not Dave Nonis. Because, you know, Dave had his assistants fired. The players know that. Randy's had his assistants fired. They know that. Shanahan's got to step into that room today. He's the guy that's got to step into that room and have a major meeting with the group. That's what he has to do.
Know what?
He's created it, and he's got to do it.
Just so you know, Shanahan, Nonis, and Fletcher are all at Dubas as well, are all at practice.
Yeah, and Shanny... Who has lived through these situations. He's lived through these situations, whether it was in Jersey, whether it was New York, whether it was in Detroit. Yeah. He's got to be the guy to step in front of the group today also, and say, okay, you know what, we got to calm this down.
He's been quiet, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that's been by design, but
he can't be today.
He needs to grab a microphone, yeah. too, and calm the waters publicly as well. But he needs, besides going into that room, he's got to step up yeah. now and take a... But,
listen, take a initiative here with the media too, because you know the calling Randy's head and Nonis's head and all of that. He needs to come out and calm the waters a little bit too.
And look, they know this. They know they need the guy. How do you get the guy? Well, you're going to make a big deal where you've got to give up some of your top prospects, or you've got to wait till you get draft the guy. That's the only way you get that guy. Look around the league at every team that's got that big. Johansson is emerging in Columbus. You know, you look around the league, like I talked to
Giordano in Calgary.
Giordano,
right now.
What has he done for that franchise? He and Brody this year. And you know what? So they're hard to find. But they know they need, as you refer to, the alpha dog. I don't know what you refer to. They need the big person to come in. And Phil then becomes number two. Dion maybe becomes three. Two and a half.
Maybe three.
In the leadership group. But they're not number ones.
It happens really quick.
And their goaltending? What has happened? Like, Bernier stood on his head last year, almost had them in the playoffs, gets hurt. This year, he looks like he's a $1 million in training camp. We think he's going to have an unbelievable year. And where's his game now?
His opening 5 minutes.
Where's his game?
Are so soft right
so
now.
So there's, and then you, what I'm concerned about is, what becomes of
maybe
Gardner?
Maybe he's ticked off that he he didn't get the number one title and started eight of the first 10 games.
Well, he should work harder to get it. But anyway, what the thing that becomes an issue is, what happens to the Kadrys? What happens to the, like, Riley? Riley is, to me, has potential to be a star in this league. You know, and right now you worry a little bit about his game a lot of nights. You know, it's tough for
Kadri was plus one last night.
A second-year guy. Yeah, I know he was.
What happened to Jake Gardner? Yeah. Almost an untouchable a couple of years ago.
Yeah. But anyway, look, Shanahan's got to calm the waters today. You said it. I don't care if he speaks publicly, but he's got to go in the dressing room and calm the waters and say, hey, you know, we got to right this. And it's a couple of losses. Everybody, I don't mind the 9-2 is bad at home. Everybody hates that. But it's the previous one combined with that throws you for a loop. Pittsburgh, they didn't play great, Randy. As you said, Randy wasn't happy. But they battled Pittsburgh.
There were earlier embarrassments.
Yeah,
against Boston and Pitt.
Yeah, but you know what? They were still 6-1-1. So, but this is not a big issue that they eventually have got to find the guy to come in here.
This core group has been together for a few years now.
Yeah,
there's just something so fragile about them mm-hmm. that when things went bad and the 18-wheeler was going off the cliff, and then the meltdown in Game 7 last year, it got away from them.
But doesn't that
and then this year? Things are going great, and when it started to turn, they cave in on themselves. It's two games, three total, but the last two games of embarrassment, that there was no pushback.
Yeah. Well, I think it still comes back to personnel. Whether, you know, I don't have a problem with Phaneuf and Kessel being on the team. I have absolutely no problem. They both play, they produce, but I'm sorry. They're not the guys that are going to step up and get it done when the intangibles.
Do you think coaching's an issue?
You can't go out now and get those guys without giving something up significantly. So you're caught between a rock and a hard place.
It's not easy to fix. It's not easy to bring in. How do you find those guys? If you look around the league, 90% of them have been drafted. Giordano's is sort of.
You got $15 million between the two of them. How are you going to go get an alpha dog right now for those guys? You're not.
Unless you package, you know, a big deal. Big deal. You know, everybody says, okay, we brought in Jeffrey Lupo. Joffrey Lupo was a great trade, great acquisition. Well, that's $5 million on your cap. And, you know, you like Jeffrey Lupo. Joffrey is a player. But
Vancouver changed their coaching staff. Changed their manager, obviously, as well, but changed their coaching staff.
And this coaching staff will change. After this season, like, do you think Randy has any chance?
No.
I mean, when you see his assistant coaches fired in the summer, do you really think Randy Carlisle has a chance?
So why did he give him the extension? Just to buy time?
I don't know why they did.
Buy time.
So it's a lost season.
We know that they reached out to see what the situation was with Babcock in Detroit. Why do you do that?
But you know what, Darren?
So fans should get upset if management's thinking this is just a season to get to another year where you can really make changes, then why should fans be upset?
But do you not agree with me? Randy, do you think Randy doesn't know this? They did to him this summer? Dave Nonis, he loses his two assistant GMs. All of a sudden, Shanahan hires two other guys.
So the players know this?
How can they not?
I don't know
that's
whether
why
they
Shanahan's
know. I don't even know if
today.
They care, but you can't say that there isn't some sort of domino effect, you know? Directly or indirectly,
and I don't
everything starts from the top, and it does trickle down. We've heard that saying before.
Darren, that's
what players feel.
Skip, Randy Carlisle's not the problem with this. Hockey,
no,
Randy Carlisle's not the problem. People can say all they want.
You're not putting Babcock in tomorrow and seeing all of a sudden those right. moments.
Because I just don't buy into the fact that people are saying this team's playing to get their coach fired when they were 6-1-1.
No, they're not planning to get him fired. I don't buy that for a minute. I don't think they are.
But I still don't understand.
Is there guys that don't like him? Yeah, but that's the same in every team.
I don't understand how it goes.
Guys in Detroit don't like Babcock. There's guys in Detroit that don't like Babcock, too, by the way. A lot of respect, but there's guys that don't like him.
There's more character flaws than there are systems in place. That's the issue, okay? Max, right. It goes back to within the character in that room to not allow moments like last night to happen. And if they do, you know, it's a one-off. It's not bad week, bad 10 days now.
So, you know, they've got to continue to, you know, they thought this summer they added some character guys. I think they did. You know, I think Komarev was a good pickup. You know, the problem is he's a third line guy, but he's a good pickup.
And he's expensive.
And
they overpaid.
And Winnick is an okay third line guy to me. He's okay. Robida, character guy. I understand it, but
5-6 defenseman.
But they overpaid for all of them.
I'm getting the sense, honestly, that there's no panic around this the last two games from this management group.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, where are you going to go? Of course, there isn't any panic because where are you going to go?
And management will speak to a couple of players that they. Or a coach or whatever, and ask that they get themselves out of this thing.
Mm-hmm. But do you not agree that Shanahan's got to be the guy that goes in and talks today?
I don't think he will.
Yeah. Well, he should. He should.
I think Dave Nonis will be.
Oh, Dave Nonis has no problem. Yeah. But unfortunately, Dave Nonis last year, when he didn't have the boss like he has this year, it was much easier for Dave to go in there. And Dave will go in.
I'm guessing
that Shanahan should go in.
Here is Glenn Healy from Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, the NHL on Sportsnet, covering the Oilers against the Vancouver Canucks. Do you want a thought on what happened at Air Canada Center before we get into this thing?
What's Dave Nonis going to say to that group? What's he going to say, Mac?
What?
Tell me the words.
Yeah, we said it.
That group away from getting hit in the face with a shovel on the bench like they were last night. What's the message?
Well, the message is when you don't. Do you want me to answer, or are you going to talk?
Uh-oh, here we go.
You go ahead.
The message is when you're the number one guy and you get humiliated two games in a row, it happens all over the league. Whether it happened when you played, I don't know. But it certainly happens now. When you get humiliated, especially at home, 9-2, and to the worst team in the league, somebody other than a captain or assistant steps up and has a session with the players. Brendan Shanahan has been, I mean, he is the guy. He's the number one guy in this operation. He's been through lots of situations like this. He's been around great. I think he's got to come in and calm the waters. And I don't think it's a big deal. I don't care what he says, but he's got to come in and try to calm them down.
Calm them down.
Calm them down. Yeah, because it's right now, and you've been in this situation where you're in the room and you feel like you've been hit over the head.
Well, Cody Franzen said it last night. He said they're feeling all kinds of pressure and heat, which surprised me because we're not to the 20-game mark.
But they feel it.
Well, I'm still waiting for the message. I get the act, mm-hmm. Okay? Someone's going to go in and speak. What's the message? Stay the course, boys. We're almost there. Is it, don't worry, I know we're 9-8, but we've lost, what, two games to Buffalo, and we gave up 9 to Nashville?
No, the message is that we were 6-1-1. We've got to play. We've got to play the right way. We can't play the way the looseness. Whether he's not going to get into the technicalities of the game, but you've got to talk basic general principles of hockey. You've got to at least send a message that, hey, this team isn't as bad as this.
Glenn, if you're in Brendan's shoes today, do you just sit back?
No, if I'm Randy, let's go to Randy Carlisle. Let's just start with the basic, the guy who's in charge. I watched the first minute.
No, just now, what do you mean guy in charge?
The first minute last night. 3-on-1, 3-on-2, that's detail? Okay, he's getting fired. Cut and dry. There's no, at some point, he's gone.
Yeah, well, you know, so tell us something we don't know.
I'm going down my way. So I'm sitting one of those big boys down today, and he's not playing against Tampa Bay. And I don't care who you pick. You want to pick
JVR? But we haven't seen that. Have we seen that?
I haven't seen it shift by shift. I haven't seen Dion Phaneuf miss a shift. Oh, big minutes guy, kills penalties, does it all. No, sit him down. I wouldn't even imagine that Phil Kessel wouldn't be under my radar if I'm a coach. You know what? I watched Al Arbor do it to the stars of a dynasty in the New York Islander team, and I haven't seen it in Toronto. And if you're going to get fired, then go down your way and go down.
Well-documented Pat Burns with Doug Gilmore on a couple of occasions.
Mm-hmm. I don't need Brendan to come in with his $4,000 Versace suit and talk to my team. And I don't need Dave Nonis, because the players know he's a lame duck too.
And do the players think, and do they think Randy's not?
I'm going to do it myself.
Do they think Randy's not a lame duck?
Well, I think he's saying he knows he's a lame duck.
I'm going to do it myself. Yeah. Listen to the conversation. I'm going to do it myself, because I know I'm going down.
Yeah.
And that was as embarrassing a loss as that club's had. I guess his most recent is Buffalo.
So you would sit Kessel out the next game?
Why not? What, are you going to lose? Oh, boy. You've just lost, too.
No, you've just been humiliated, too.
Humiliated.
So, just a minute, is this the same guy I've listened to us for the last 2 weeks say how great he's been? And we're going to sit him down? We're going to sit him out?
You get me the tape where I say how great he's been, and I'll be glad to listen to it.
Well, I must be missing something. I heard about this great, unbelievable release off the wing, and unbelievable goals, and unbelievable this, and unbelievable that.
Now
we're
going to score. No, he's a great scorer.
So we're going to sit Phil Kessel out.
He's there on a Saturday talking about his shot.
See,
great it was in a game when he didn't have a shot.
You know what? It's really great when you're a TV guy and you say, sit this guy out. Like, I have no problem sitting him for 3 or 4 shifts, benching him for a period.
There's a start.
But you're going to sit a guy, like, to talk, and we're going to sit these guys in the stands. You're joking, right? You're joking about this.
No.
I don't mind a period. I don't mind missing the power play. I don't mind this, but
have you,
sit him in the stands.
Have you, what's the longest you would have benched Nash? Did you ever bench him? Would you, are the biggest stars
sure,
that you
could, you bent, you take a guy off the power play? Like if Steve Yzerman is struggling in his days in Detroit and he misses a power play, that's the same as this guy sitting out.
Is he struggling? Are these guys struggling? Or are they cheating?
Well, Phil Kessel's not struggling. He's one of the top scorers in the NHL.
Glenn Healy's with us from Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, covering the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers. You chime back in here.
What am I missing? Is he third in the league in scoring?
No. I don't think scoring's the issue here. I don't think
it's effort.
The issue.
Glenn?
You're missing the point.
What's the point then?
The point is send a message to one of the big boys and wake that team up. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you pick, but you send a message to one of them, and it sends a message to all of them. And all the teams I've played on, I have seen all the big boys get sat down at some point. Either you miss a shift, you mentioned, you miss a power play, you miss a game maybe. Well, that sends an enormous message. But the same old, let's trudge along, let's maybe pull a goalie, the message is not getting through to
Glenn,
that group.
Glenn, missing a shift, missing a period, missing a power play, I'm all for.
Okay,
but that's
right.
Not how this conversation. This conversation
that was the last resort.
Sit them out.
Well, no.
It doesn't make sense.
He didn't start.
And it doesn't always happen.
He didn't
and every
start
team you've
by
on,
saying
how
that,
many times did Messier
well,
sit out?
I think what he's saying is maybe you sacrifice the Tampa game by sitting out Phil Kessel to get the whole room back. If I can paraphrase,
I'm sorry.
He wouldn't be the.
Is
guy
he not
I
the
pick.
Third leading
okay.
scorer in
okay.
the league?
Okay, for enough then.
The guy I pick.
Yeah.
I'm saying JVR may be the guy I pick. All right. We played a semifinals game Nick, you and I. Brian Leetch got sat for the entire game against the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Do we win the series?
It was unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
After Mess went back into Keenan.
Okay, was it wrong?
Yeah.
For sure. At some point, you probably should have said Doug Lidster and Jay Wells shouldn't be on the power play in a 2-1
so
game.
So just a minute. You,
but
you
19 won the, other guys noticed.
You won the series because Leetch was sat out or because Messier's...
All of the above.
Because you had an alpha dog that led the way.
We were on a short leash in New York, and we knew that you better perform. You don't go to Buffalo and give up six. Don't let Nashville score 9 at home.
I'm all for you saying, I'm all for benching a guy. I'm all for that. But let's not talk foolishness saying we're going to sit guys out.
He said that wouldn't be the first guy, the Kessel thing. I got a great tweet here today, Glenn, and I know that you're not a big Twitter guy, but this one kind of made sense. Edmonton fans are kind of in no man's land right now because they're watching Toronto panic like crazy, and Toronto's a game above 500. And right now, Edmonton is struggling, haven't beat a Western Conference foe, and they get Vancouver and a heavy dominated Western Conference schedule coming up, and they're saying, what should we be doing?
Well, you know, I think the big panic in Toronto, if you look at their record, you say, not bad, we're there. You know, we had a good start. We've had some good things going on. It's how they've lost and who they've lost to. That's the panic. That creates they don't score, no one scores 9 in Nashville. They don't get 9 in a month. It's like the past two games have been dog years. We've aged 10 years in two games.
So where does Edmonton fit into this? What should their mentality be?
Yeah, they are equally as antsy in Edmonton just because of the way their team has played. It's supposed to be different this year, right? It's supposed to be they were, 4 wins last year after this number of games, now they got 6.
Should Dallas be more worried than Randy in Toronto based on a poll?
He should sit out Taylor Hall tonight.
Okay, stop it.
Like,
stop
you know, it. Honestly.
Stop it. Let it go.
Enough, Mac.
I wish you were working in studio tonight.
I wish I was, too. But, I guess
But he's got to send the message, doesn't he?
I think they look at their team from an analytics standpoint, and they're pretty good.
Yeah. How the analytics department work out last night.
Right? Both coaches are on. It's a watch, and I think the big thing with the Leafs is, when they look at their schedule moving forward, this is a pretty tough week. You got Detroit, you got Tampa, you got Washington. Wow. I mean, the next 8 days are going to tell a lot. And then, from Dallas's standpoint, this is a work in progress.
But, Hills, what are they saying in Edmonton about the fact that they can't beat a Western team?
They're saying they need a goalie is what they're saying. You look at the game that they played against an Eastern team against Ottawa, for instance, and, first shot down the wing, Hoffman scores from an impossible angle on a defenseman who jumps out of the play, on a goalie who jumps out of the play as quick as the defenseman. Make a save. You've got the worst save percentage in the National Hockey League. If you are Calgary, for instance, a couple hours down the road, that goaltending tandem has won them 5 games, minimum. And the goaaltending tandem in Edmonton, have they won them a game? I don't know if they have.
Well, I think at the time at Hamm, we said the question is, do they have two good number twos?
And, some would argue they got a number two and a minor league guy. So you're right. It's tough in this league. Mac, you lost your job based on goaltending.
Yeah, totally.
In Columbus. I mean, you had a good team. You drafted some good players. Nash is a world-class guy, and you couldn't get a guy to make a save for you.
It's not like you've made a 5-year commitment to either one of them here.
Right.
Is it too early to just change it up between the pipes?
No, I think that coaching, management, ownership, all of them know the white elephant in the room. And 20 games in, they're looking at it going, okay, we know what it is. So, is the coach that loses his job then, so he's... The coach can't make a save, so let's get rid of him. That's a different animal than what I see in Toronto, which is this carefree, careless kind of
loose.
Okay, well, we
do whatever I want to do.
Loose.
I'm just going to start this game, and I'm going to commit as many atrocities as I want in the first minute and give up odd man chances. And I'm just going to keep going. You can pull the goalie. We don't care about Bernier. Watch the next two periods. These are going to be delightful, and we're going to do it at home. they're two different animals, I think. I think you've got to, you know, look at the records. Yeah, you look at the progression of teams, but you also have to look at, you know, how they're playing, how they're responding, who they're playing against, who they're losing to. And they're two different pots of soup in my mind.
And then if you move a little outside the crease, the blue line is still a major concern in Edmonton.
Totally.
And Nikitin, you know, the guys that they brought in, Fane, they haven't had that same impact that we've seen with the Islanders with their trade, or Tampa Bay with the guys that they picked up off-season.
Kip and Glenn, you say they're two different animals, but doesn't it at times come back to that they're very similar? Neither team is getting great goaltending at this point. And the number one thing we always talk about with the Leafs is, where's the leadership? Where's the leadership in Edmonton? Where's the leadership in Toronto?
Well, I would put my money on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Taylor Hall before I would put my money on the leadership in Toronto.
No, totally. Are they still learning?
G1 yet?
They're still
G1.
Are they driving their?
They're still young.
The games.
And then you got to factor in that
they're going to be leaders, but they're not right now.
The money came a little earlier than the bridge contracts usually do, and that. Don't tell me that doesn't play into it as well, you know, that there's an adjustment there.
Totally.
A little too much, a little too early. You can live with it if they continue to move the needle upwards of getting better.
But at least they produce.
Well, organizationally, right, they made a decision that they were going to pay guys, you know, and not do the bridge thing,
yeah.
Lock up their core. And right or wrong, they've done that, and it's going to take some time. For it to get better, because you're right, Nick. They need to surround those guys with better players.
And Vancouver's feasted on them so far this year. 3-0, trying for a fourth win out of the gate. And that, I mean, four 13 wins would be huge for Vancouver taking over. This is a big one for Edmonton, just based on what's coming up for their schedule.
Yeah, and the timing's wrong, too, for them.
Terrible.
Vancouver has waited since... the weekend for that loss. That,
ooh, and it was brewing.
Embarrassing
just
for them.
Just brewing all week.
And truthfully, the next practice after the loss, talking to their coaching staff, was an excellent practice. It was almost like...
Vancouver, you know, or Edmonton?
Vancouver.
Oh, okay.
We know it was bad, and we're moving on, and we know that we have some inadequacies in our team, but this one's not going to... It's not going to burn us.
Glenn,
we're going to play.
Who's playing goal with the back-to-back and Anaheim coming into Vancouver? Who's playing goal for Vancouver tonight?
I would say it has to be Ryan Miller. They're not showing their cards, but
yeah.
Play him. He needs to get back in the net. I mean, as a starter, I've been there. As a backup, I've been there. And I know as a backup, I know I don't deserve this game. I know the starter does. Starter deserves to get back in the net and show everybody why he is what he is, why they went and got him. And Eddie Lack is a wonderful person, and a really good guy for anyone who's had a moment to chat with him.
Yeah.
But he knows he doesn't deserve this one. Let Ryan Miller win it on the national stage and get the team back on track.
Any chance you could get back to the studio for To the Point tonight with Mac?
Heels,
Mac. I mean,
I'll gladly give up my middle chair next week. You come in here. I don't even think Darren needs to host. Just the two of you for an hour, and I'll stay home and watch.
First question: should we have drafted Jerdev?
No.
Well, see?
No, you know what, though?
Oh, he gets the last one.
Ask Darcy Regier, because if I didn't take him, he was taking him at five.
Yeah. What's he doing today?
Yeah. Well, he lasted 16.
Less than you.
He's doing more than you are.
No, he said he's watching you, and that's what he's doing. Have a great show tonight. We'll chat 7:30 Eastern Time is the pregame show on Hockey Central.
All right, boys.
Glenn Healy, working alongside Jim Houston and Craig Simpson tonight. Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey segment. On Sportsnet, Vancouver and Edmonton.
Glenn and Mac are going to have a new segment.
Oh, you know what?
Who's smarter?
I just disagreed with him. I don't mind sitting a guy a shift in a period.
Well,
but
he didn't. You know what? He didn't come out and trumpet that like right off the bat here.
Yes, he did.
Was no, he did not. He suggested a few things.
I must be deaf.
Well, there are times where you don't listen.
Yeah.
It's not
deaf. Okay. You got excited. You know, you got your big show tonight. It's
yeah,
good.
It's good. It's fun.
It's good. You're just gearing up.
Yeah, you
got to
have a little
hockey.
Bit of fun. You got to have a little, you know.
Who is on To the Point tonight?
That would be Darren myself Pang. And Darren Pang.
Okay.
How is Elliot Sneak out of all these?
He was on 1 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, once he's been on.
He won.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's all about who pick, what topic you pick. You know, you got to play your cards right.
Yeah, and to be fair, if Mac, who gets in real early, goes first, then, you know, he'll take the popular choice without even making one point.
I didn't take a hit on analytics. I didn't take a hit on Vegas. Yeah. I didn't take a hit on
I think Steve Larmer deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but we know the meaty one was Eric, right? And you got to pick first.
To the Point coming up in the second intermission tonight, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey To the Point, presented by J.P. Weisers. Philadelphia and the Rangers is also on Sportsnet tonight on Sportsnet 1. So both games in the National Hockey League nationally tonight on Sportsnet. Time for a break as we continue on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, simulcast on the NHL Network in the United States.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
There was other action last night in the National Hockey League. Welcome back to the HG studio. Darren Millard with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. The three of us will be joined by Elliot Friedman, Damian Cox, and Darren Pang tonight in Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. 6:30 Mountain Time pregame show.
It's like a
5:30 Mountain Time pregame show, sorry. And 6 o'clock start time, Mountain Time. Edmonton, Vancouver.
Yeah, it's going to be, like Glenn was saying, it's a pretty important game for both these teams, but And you know what? When we talk about the troubles the Leafs are having, the Oilers are having in Vancouver with a little bit of a hiccup here now, but you think about what's going on in Calgary. Mm-hmm. And you watch Hiller in a high-pressured game last night against his old teammates, wins it in a shootout, and to watch Giordano, to watch Brody, Johnny Gaudreau, I mean, they got some things going the right... They got some things happening for them
right
now.
You know what is, I think, a really good sign is that it wasn't a very good game. First 40 minutes. What did they have? 7 shots on goal.
Yeah, they didn't.
It's not good hockey. It wasn't. You could almost sit there and go, "It's just not their night."
No.
And then what happened?
Brody makes a big play.
They start scoring in the third period, and this is an ongoing thing. Now they are
4-goal third period
leaders once again. 27 third period goals.
But Nick,
and they come back and take 2 points.
Twice as many wins as losses, but, and they've won 3 in a row.
Little things. Jackman is mixing up with Gaudreau at the faceoff. Eglin steps in and battles for a team. There's something going on with that group from a, I don't know how successful they're going to be because of, you know, at the end of the day, it's a tough conference. But there's something pretty positive from a leadership perspective, from a chemistry perspective. There's something pretty good going on there.
And Brad Treliving,
and their goaltending has been good.
Brad Treliving can just sit back and ride it out, right?
Yeah.
There's no rush to add pieces to this thing, right?
No.
Even with some big horses going down, you know?
You know the difference,
up the middle of the ice. Now, Josh Juris comes in, and, you know, 2 years ago, where was this guy?
What about the play of...
Now he's looking like a pretty solid NHLer.
What about the play of Monahan? Goes head-to-head a lot of shifts against Kessler. Kessler's playing as well as he's played in a number of years right now. And this big guy, this Getzlaf Stahl, we don't know if he's got the personality to be a Getzlaf or a Stahl or who, but is there a team in the league that wouldn't absolutely love to have Monahan right now? I mean, I know he's a sixth or seventh overall pick.
And where are they going to be in a couple of years when Sam Bennett starts going?
Yeah, pretty positive.
There will be a percentage of the fan base, if this continues to, we're at the 20 game mark now, to the halfway point of the season, leading up to the trade deadline. If they're in this fight for a playoff spot, there will be people saying, do something. Get us over the hump.
But Treliving doesn't have to.
Ride first it out,
year.
Right?
Yeah, he's a first
enjoy
year.
Enjoy this.
They got the schedule coming up is a lot more challenging. So
and they've
Chicago
had a couple
coming
of
up now.
But you know what this is impressive they haven't played the big guys yet. But you know what's impressive is the number of road games they've played. So that sort of makes
7 of 11.
That sort of makes up for the fact they haven't played some of the big teams. They've played on the road and they play well. So Hartley deserves credit. Hey, it's funny how but you know, I still think it comes back the leadership of Giordano and the play of he and Brody. Russell, Weidman. I mean, these
17
guys,
goals right now between Giordano, Brody, and Weidman.
Yeah.
17.
Yeah. 2 leading scorers on the team, I think. Anyway,
you know, Calgary scored 23 more goals than the Winnipeg Jets. this year. Talk about teams doing it in much different ways.
And if you sat at the first of the season, you'd say Calgary will have trouble scoring goals.
Yeah.
You'd say they are going to have trouble
scoring. Absolutely.
And Winnipeg would have trouble keeping the puck out.
Right.
Yeah. So it looks, it's, you know, good things are happening.
Winnipeg,
and that's
another
that's a pretty good
night.
Anaheim team they beat last night, let me tell you. That's a pretty good Anaheim team. I know they've lost a few shootouts lately, but that's a pretty good, that's a heck of a team.
They look big in the first 40 minutes.
Let's squeeze in our three stars. Last night, one of the games we haven't talked about was the St. Louis Blues into Boston. Patrice Bergeron with a goal last night. He's over 50%, as per usual, in the faceoff dot, winning 12 of 22 faceoffs. And didn't play a ton for Patrice Bergeron, but obviously...
Tracy's back, so that helps.
Yeah, boy, was he just a dominant guy in the dot. But a 2-0 Boston Bruin win, in which they were outplayed, but their star players stepped up almost en masse. And now Boston, who fell off the rails, are back at it again with a couple of wins.
What happened to Boston in those two games back, not back-to-back, but Toronto-Montreal? You're saying, wow, well, they stepped it up last night. So that's what comes back. And I think people were concerned about the Bruins, but...
Where they were. And maybe that's
and how they played
for,
those two games.
People who are watching the Toronto Maple Leafs. Right. Skippy, your star.
I went with Dennis Wiedemann and 7 goals. I think he played almost, 30 minutes last night. And you sit there and you go, okay, what have we said for the last year that you couldn't trade this guy if you tried? $5.25 million.
He was a healthy scratch at the start of the year.
Two more years, and you're like, how's Calgary getting out of this one? And nobody would look at this guy. And I'm not even suggesting that, there are teams out there that would still take that contract.
You know what's helped
two more years. But at least he's looking like a guy that we understand why he got up to $5.25 million.
I think what really has helped him is the Giordano, Brody, and then he comes in the second pair. He and Russell come in on that second pair, and it takes a little bit of heat off him. And I think he's relishing it.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's trailing now nicely. He's got that big shot, and we saw it last night.
I'm going with Hiller. I thought it was a pressure defining game for him. You know, he got run out of Anaheim essentially, or lost his job, I guess you would say, more than run out. Signs as a free agent. Brad Treliving as a rookie GM made a great signing getting this guy. And on a reasonable contract, 2 years at what, $4.5 million, and he goes against his old team and you know, played well.
Love the reaction, stopping Perry.
Yeah,
right. You could just see all that emotion,
and it should be
how important it was for him, and good on him.
And stopping again, Nick, maybe the best scorer in the NHL. Yeah,
that's right.
In a pressure situation to win a game.
And you mentioned the short term contract for Hiller. Calgary's going to be in a pretty good position. If these guys continue to go this way, you know, depending on where they are, you know, in a playoff situation or what they might be even looking at come after the trade deadline. But we talk about teams that may have some goaltending issues. How about dangling one of these guys out there?
And we should also acknowledge Buffalo's win over the San Jose Sharks last night in a situation where Buffalo's getting pounded by Stone. Yeah. So they beat the Sharks both times this year. And the announced crowd was 17,000, but there was a ticket exchange in place. How about this one out of Buffalo? The Buffalo Bills are looking for snow removers. They're paying $10 per hour to remove snow from the Ralph, and you also get a game ticket.
Well, didn't it happen in Toronto a few years ago where they had to bring all the snowplows up
from PEI? Coaches are staying overnight at the stadium?
They brought all the snowplows up from PEI. Maybe the PEI guys, because they've got no snow there. They could the plows from PEI could come up and help.
I've
them.
Never
they did,
heard
they
that.
They did for the Toronto. Bailed us out, those PEI snowplowers.
Oh, my goodness. $10 an hour.
They're going to want more than
tickets.
That. They're going to want more than that, I'm sorry.
to remove snow. We are on the air tonight. 7:30 Eastern time for Hockey Central, teeing up Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey on Sportsnet. The Edmonton Oilers at home to the Vancouver Canucks. Both teams looking for a bounce back, but it's a lot more than that for the Edmonton Oilers. Thanks to Glenn Healy for stopping by.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Maybe the last time for a while.
Giving us his insight so we could have something to fight about.
Appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Sportsnet Central tonight.